Today's daf is Shabbos daf Lamed Tes. We are holding on daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah Lamed Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah is going to make four statements, and the Gemara is going to discuss some of them. Today we have three basic topics on our daf. First, the Gemara is going to discuss cooking with unusual modes of cooking, unconventional heat sources, a hot cloth, sand, things like that. Second, we're going to very briefly discuss the issue of Hatmana B'davar Amos of Hevel. And then the Gemara is going to get into the very Halach L'maisa Sugya of, all these Sugyas are Halach L'maisa, but the Sugya of showering and bathing on Shabbos and on Yantif. Mostly the discussion over here is about Shabbos and Misach Tzveit, so it's a little bit more about Yantif, but we're going to discuss that issue of showering and bathing as well. That is the basic layout of today's daf. So let's see the Mishnah. Four basic statements in the Mishnah. Number one, Einos and Beitza B'tzada Mechem B'shvil Shenizgalgal. A person should not lightly roast an egg by putting it next to a hot kettle. Now, up until this point, we've been talking about warming foods that have already been cooked, where the Isurim were not Isurim D'Oraisa of Bishul. We've been talking about Isurim D'Rabbanan of Hachzara, of Hatmana, of Shehiya. Now we're going to be talking about, for at least a little while, the Isur D'Oraisa of cooking. If you have a raw egg and you put it right next to a very hot kettle and it becomes slightly cooked, that is a D'Oraisa, that is Bishul D'Oraisa. So you're not allowed to cook an egg in that way, even slightly. Second statement, also you're not allowed to crack open an egg and fry it on a hot cloth, but that Rabbi Yossi thinks is permissible. To fry it on a boiling hot cloth, Rabbi Yossi thinks permissible. The Tanakama holds that it's usur. What's the issue? Why would it sounds like you're cooking. Why would it possibly be permissible? So if you look at Rashi, we're talking about a cloth that was heated by the sun, that the heat of the sun is indirectly causing the cooking of the egg. So that's where Rabbi Yossi's matir. He holds that toldos achama, things that are warmed by the sun, would not be a violation of bishul, even though it's affecting a qualitative change in the food itself. Halacha number three of the Mishnah, v'leyat minena b'chol uba'avak drachem b'shvil shetitzle. You also can't insulate it in very hot sand from the in order to take an egg and insulate it in hot sand so that it will become roasted by the heat of the sand. Again, you're taking an egg and you're cooking it with the hot sand. That is also usur. Notably, over here, we don't have Rabbi Yossi Matir. Even though it seems to be the same thing, it seems to be told us, how did the sand get hot? The sand got hot from the sun making it hot. So it would seem that if the Tanakhama says that this is usur because he holds told us, is usur, Rabbi Yossi should say that it's mutter because he would hold told us, is mutter. So Rashi already points out, if you hang on, we'll see in the Gemara why it is that Rabbi Yossi argues in case number two, but does not argue in case number three, even though they seem strikingly similar. Now, halacha number four is based on a maisa. Maisa shasu anshei tevaria. There was a story that the anshei tevaria made. Ve'viu silon shel tzonein l'toch ama shel chamin. They had a pipe of cold water running through the Chamei Tveria, running through the hot springs of Tveria. And when you have a pipe of cold water running through a body of water that's hot, so the cold water gets heated from the body of water that's hot, that's all around it. So Amr Lehem Chacham, so the Chacham said to them, what do you think you're going to be able to do with that cold water that comes out of the pipe? In B'Shabbos, if you want to open up the pipe on Shabbos and take the water that comes out of the pipe, now the warmed water that's coming out of the pipe, the water that was warm by passing through the Chamei Tveria, kecham and shulchmu b'Shabbos, you should know it has the same din as water that's heated up on Shabbos. Now keep in mind, the way the Rishonim understand this is they didn't set up this system on Shabbos, they set it up before Shabbos, and it just went on its own, it continued to flow through the pipe on Shabbos. So all this was set up, all the maisa, any maisa that was done before Shabbos, now it's just flowing through on its own, through this pipe that's surrounded by heat, that's surrounded by hot water. But the Chacham said, look, if you take any water from that pipe, it has the same din as water that's heated up on Shabbos, and the halacha is, when you have water heated up on Shabbos, v'asurin b'ruchitzu b'shtiyah, it's asur to bathe in it, and it's asur to drink it. And in b'yomtov, and if it's yantiv, kecham and shulchmu biyomtiv would have the same din as water that's heated up on yomtiv. And what's the halacha with water that's heated up on yomtiv? Vasurim berchitzu mutarim b'shtiya. You're still not allowed to bathe in it. You're only allowed to drink it. Why are you allowed to drink water that's heated up on yomtiv? Because we know the halacha is that anything that's ochel nefesh, you're allowed to do in the malacha on yomtiv. So you're allowed to cook water on yomtiv. So water that's cooked on yomtiv, you're allowed to drink it. But to bathe yourself, you're not allowed to do. And the same would be true with this water that comes through the pipe that ran through the Chamei Tveria. Good, those are the four halachas of the Mishnah. So, Frekta Gemara, now going back to the first halacha. First halacha was that you're not allowed to put an egg next to a hot kettle, bishvil shenisgalgel, so that it will become slightly roasted. So says the Gemara, Yibaylu gilgel mai. What if you did? What if it did get slightly roasted? Samar of Yosef gilgel chayiv chatos. So then you're chayiv to bring a carbon chatos. You violated the issur d'oraisa of bishul. This is not, we're not playing games over here. Amar mabrei d'ravina afana namitanina. We learned something that supports this as well. Kol sheba b'chamin milifnei ha-shabbos, shorunosa b'chamin b'shabbos. Anything that was cooked by hot water before Shabbos can be soaked in hot water on Shabbos. V'kol sheloba b'chamin milifnei ha-shabbos, madichnosa b'chamin b'shabbos. Anything that was not cooked in hot water before Shabbos can be rinsed in hot water on Shabbos. Except for certain items where even rinsing them in hot water will be the gemar melacha, will finish off the bishul process. That will make it cooked. So shema mina, so we see that this is in fact the case. So what do we see from here? What's going on over here? So what essentially what this Mishnah is teaching us is the din of ein bishul achar bishul. Kol sheba b'chamin milifnei ha-shabbos tells me something that I've already cooked before Shabbos, Shorin also b'chamin b'Shabbos. I'm allowed to cook again on Shabbos because it's already cooked. Ein bishul achar bishul. Once it's cooked, it can't be cooked a second time. When we say something that's not ba b'chamin milifnei Shabbos, we mean something that was not cooked before Shabbos. So I cannot soak it in something boiling hot pot of water on Shabbos because that's bishul. What can I do? Madichin also b'chamin. You can rinse it in hot water because that's not called bishul. So you're allowed to rinse hot water over it, unless rinsing hot water over it will actually be mevashalit. If rinsing hot water over it will be mevashalit, then it would be prohibited even just to rinse it. Now, Tosos points out over here, this is an important Tosos, he discusses many of the shitos in terms of Kli Rishon, Iroi Kli Rishon, Klisheni, because that's essentially what we're talking about over here. When we talk about shorin bechamin, we're talking about soaking something in a pot of hot water. That's Kli Rishon. That's cooking in a Kli Rishon in a pot where water was cooked. When we talk about madichin, it sounds a lot like Iroi Kli Rishon, that you take hot water from a kettle, hot water from an urn, and you pour it over something. That would be Iroi Kli Rishon. So just simple reading of the Gemara makes it sound that certainly something in a Kli Rishon gets cooked. When you pour from a Kli Rishon, most items don't get cooked except for these things that we identify. That's what it sounds like. The Maliach Yashan, Kulyas Hispanin, these things would get cooked even with Iroi. That's what it sounds like. So says Tosfos. What's Pshat over here? First of all, Kol Shabbat B'cham L'Fnei HaShabbos means Perish Shenesbasha L'Gamri, that it was completely cooked before Shabbos. If it was only partially cooked before Shabbos, then you are not allowed to put it back into a Kli Rishon on Shabbos, because then you're going to be finishing off the cooking process, and you're not allowed to finish off the cooking process. The Rashba writes, no, it doesn't have to be Nespashel Agamri, it just has to be that it was Nespashel Kemachel Ben Drusai, that it only had to have been cooked before Shabbos to the point of barely edible, of Machel Ben Drusai. That's what the Rashba writes on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis as well, that once something reaches the point of Machel Ben Drusai, there is no longer Bishel Da'oraisa on that item. Ein Bishel Achar Bishel tells me that it doesn't need to be mevushal called sarcho in order to no longer be subject to the isur of bishul, even if it only gets the machlo ben drusai. Major machlokas, Rashba and Tosfos over here. Tosfos holds we only say ein bishul achar bishul once something is fully cooked. The Rashba says even if it's partially cooked, as long as as it reached Machal Ben Drusai, we'd already say in Bishlach or Bishl. What's the Shitas HaRambam? Kesem Mishnah in the ninth parak of Hilchot Shabbos is Medayik from the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that as long as it, like Tosos, that as long as it's not fully cooked, even if it's Machal Ben Drusai, you would still be Chayiv. Magen Mishnah sounds like he understands that way as well. However, the Drishon or Chayim Simin Shin Yodalid thinks that the Rambam holds that even when it's got, when it gets to Machal Ben Drusai, that's what the Rambam calls Kol Tzarcho. When he says Kol Tzarcho, he means Machal Ben Drusai. So once it gets to Machal Ben Drusai, it's already Ein Bishul. We'd already apply Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. So that's the number one very important Machlokas Rishonim that appears in Tosfos. When do we say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? Once Halachic Bishul has happened, which is at Machal Ben Drusai, it's no longer going to be subject to Bishul, or do we say no? Once there's no longer a qualitative effect on the food anymore, because you've already been Mavushal called Sarcho, that's when we're going to say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. That's Machlokas number one. Says Tosfos Vayter, Kenfarish Kaman Perachavis, Kigon Tarnagolos Rabbi Abba Shornos and he gives an example. If you have food that's already fully cooked, you're allowed to put it into a kli rishon. It's not a violation of bishul. The pirush Rashba de mefarish di iroi kikli sheni asi shapir hacha de ein shorin also bekli rishon aval medichan also bekli rishon derech iroi. He says the Rashba who holds that iroi kli rishon is the same din as a kli sheni fits our Gemara beautifully. Like we said, when you read our Gemara, it sounds like Madichin. If you have something that was not yet cooked, you're allowed to pour hot water over it. What's that called when you pour hot water over something? That's Iri Kli Rishon. You're pouring straight from the kettle over the food. So the Rashba holds that Iri Kli Rishon is the same din as Kli Sheni. And the din of Kli Sheni is that Kli Sheni is Eino Mevashel. Doesn't have the ability to cook. So our Gemara is beautiful. Iri Kli Rishon does not have the ability to cook either, and that's why you're allowed to pour it over these food items. Except for the two that are identified. Why? What's so special about these two that are identified? Because there is a concept called Kalei Abishul. There are some things that are so easily cooked, even in a klisheni, they can become cooked. So whatever can be cooked in a klisheni will be cooked with Yirei Kli Rishon. So that's what you have to avoid doing Yirei Kli Rishon. But normal foods, you're even allowed to do Yirei Kli Rishon. That's the Rashba. Aval Lepirush Rabbeinu Tam, the Mefarish Di Yirei Havik Kli Rishon, but Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam holds that Iroi Kli Rishon is the same as Kli Rishon itself. So then what's going on in our Gemara? What does it mean, Madichin? You're allowed to pour hot water over uncooked food on Shabbos. Isn't that, according to Rabbeinu Tam, isn't that cooking in a Kli Rishon? So Al Karchach Madichin also mi Kli Sheni Ka'amar. Rabbeinu Tam has to understand that when we say you're pouring hot water over it, it doesn't mean you're pouring straight from the kettle. It means you pour from the kettle into a cup, and then you take that cup of hot water and you pour it over the food. That's what the Madichin is. But the problem over there, the problem then is, if that's how Rabbeinu Tam understands the Gemara, why does the Gemara say you're allowed to pour from that second cup over the uncooked food? You could say better. Put the uncooked food in that second cup. It's a klisheni. It should be mutter. V'imkein, ma'yir yamadichin, afilu sharin nami. Once we're talking about a klisheni, why would you say that you pour it? Just say that you put it in the klisheni. V'omarida afilu b'klisheni ein sharin, to hold on, mayim chamin mechsi kimevashel. So he says an unbelievable chiddush. Even if you hold there's no bishul in a klisheni, there would still be an isur derabanan of mechsi kimevashel. If you have boiling hot water in a klisheni, it at least looks like cooking. If you have to tell the command of a nosin toch hakar or toch ha tamchoy, haynu dafka tavlin shein asuyin lemate kasakadera v'lo mechsi kimevashel. We have a gemara later on that says that you're allowed to put something in a klisheni. That's only something that it does that's the added for flavor, but something that looks like you're trying to cook it, you're not even allowed to put in a klisheni. A gvaldika chiddush. Inami, who had din sharon also. Or you could say that really the Gemara means you could soak it in the klisheni also. Kivan da ayri be klisheni, because we're talking about a klisheni. Vahadinak and madichin, why then does it say that you pour it from the klisheni? Lashmin and dafilu hadacha have your Gemara malacha be meliach hayashim and klius espanin. Now the chiddush is that kali habishal are so easily cooked that even iroi klisheni cooks them. Meaning I would have thought, had it just told me I could soak it in a klisheni except for these kali habishal, I would say, yeah, the kali habishal can get cooked, will get cooked in a klisheni, and that, therefore that's to be avoided on Shabbos. But to do iroi sheni. Let's say, for instance, you hold the tea bag is kalei abishal. So I would have thought, says Rabbeinu Tam, that I'm not allowed to put a tea bag in a klisheni, but iroi klisheni I'd be allowed to do, because that's already not going to cook the tea bag. Kamash Mulan, says Rabbeinu Tam, that even iroi klisheni will be mevashal kalei abishal. So whichever way you go, Rabbeinu Tam has two explanations of why we give the example of Madichin rather than Shorin. Once we're talking about a klisheni, either explanation involves a significant chumrah. Either the explanation that putting something in a klisheni is still asur midrabanan, even if it's not kalei bishel, asur midrabanan because it's mechzik mevashel, or the idea that that kalei abishel would even be cooked in iroi klisheni. That itself is a major machlokes from Moshe the Mishnah Berurah lahalacha when it comes to making tea. Right? Are you allowed to make tea in a klishlishi? Let's assume you hold a tea bag is kalei abishel. Not everyone always assumed that a tea bag is kalei abishel. I think Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav that Rav Salvechik said that his grandfather used to make tea in a klisheni, that he held it wasn't kalei abishal and you're allowed to make tea in a klisheni. I think I once asked Rav Shechter which grandfather. He had two grandfathers. He had Rav Chaim Salvechik and Rav Elia Prajner, Rav Elia Feinstein, were his two grandfathers. Both great Talmidei Chacham. Rav Chaim Salvechik a little more well known. So he said, I think Rav Shechter told me both grandfathers, that both grandfathers held that you were, that tea is not kalei abishal. But let's assume that hold the tea is kalei abishal, and therefore you cannot make tea in a klisheni. Can you do it with iroi klisheni? Are you allowed to? Can you do it in a klishlishi? Meaning, when we say something is kalei abishal, does that mean that no matter how removed the heat is from the original kli that it was cooked in, it's as long as it's still hot, it still has the ability to cook, and therefore it's going to be aser? That's the sheet of the Mishnah Berurah. Or do we say no? Kalei abishal can get cooked in a klisheni. Once you go past klisheni, iroi klisheni, klishlishi, you go past klisheni, so then there's nothing that such kalei abishal that could even be cooked in that. That's the sheet of Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe holds you're allowed to make tea with a kli, with an iroi klisheni or a klishlishi, that you could put tea put a tea bag in a cup, take hot water from the urn in a different cup. So that cup that you take that water from the urn is a klisheni. Pour that into the third cup that has your tea bag, and that would be fine according to Rav Moshe. Mishra Berurah would say no. Mishra Berurah requires making like a strong tea essence before Shabbos to cook it in advance, and then just mixing that with hot water on Shabbos. So that's the machlokas over here. Now, what about iroi kli rishon? Another thing that emerges from this Tosos is two out of the three deos. Ironically, not the one that we paskin like, that's the one that's missing over here, in terms of what iroi kli rishon is able to accomplish. When you pour directly from a hot kettle onto food that needs to get cooked, so does that have the ability to cook the food? So Tosfos has the sheet of the Rashba that iroi kli rishon has a din of a kli sheni, that it's not able to be mevashel, and therefore it's mutter to pour directly from a kli rishon onto, let's say oatmeal, if assuming oatmeal is not kalei abishal, right, that you're allowed to pour straight from a kli rishon, and the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam that no, that's like making oatmeal in a kli rishon, that's iroi kli rishon, the same thing as a kli rishon. What do we hold? We hold iroi kli rishon as mevashel kidei klipa, that it has the ability to cook, but not nearly as strongly as a kli rishon is able to cook. Iroi kli rishon can only cook the outermost surface of the item that you're pouring it on. It doesn't have the ability to cook beyond the outermost surface. And therefore, that's what the poskim say when you want to warm up a baby bottle. So what do? You have a bottle of cold milk that you want to warm up on Shabbos. Can you stick it into a pot of water that's on a fire? Absolutely not. That's sticking it into a kli rishon. That's called cooking the milk. You're not allowed to cook up the baby bottle in that way. Can you put it into a klisheni? Once you have water in a klisheni, can you soak it in the klisheni? For sure, l'kuli alma, that would be mutter. What about iroi kli rishon? Can you put the bottle under the spout of your urn and pour from the urn straight onto the baby bottle? That's iroi kli rishon. So if you hold iroi kli rishon as din of kli rishon, no, you can't do it. If you hold it as din of klisheni, yes, you can do it. And if you hold like we hold that it's mvashel kadei klipa, as long as the milk is in the bottle, what does it have the ability to be mvashel? Only the surface of the bottle itself, not the contents of the bottle, and therefore would be mutter, because the kadei klipa is the bottle itself. So that's the halacha. So there's a very, very important tells a lot of very important inyanim over here. Okay, so vayter in the Gemara at the two dots. V'lo yafkiyana besudrin, we said you're not allowed to fry an egg on a hot cloth. And that was a machlokas. Rabbi Yossi held that it's mutter to fry an egg on a hot cloth. So vahaditran nosin tashil tocha bar bishvil shei shamur vesamayim hayafin berayim bishvil shei tzanenu vetzatzonin bechamu bishvil shei chamu. So that which we have another mishnah, the mishnah that tells us later on in this masechta that you're allowed to put cooked food into a bar so that it will be protected, or clean water into dirty water to cool it off if the dirty water is cooler, or cold water into the sun bishvil sheichamu so that you can heat up the cold water. We're going to focus on that last one, that you're putting something cold in the sun, you're putting cold water in the sun, you're heating up the water. So we said that you're allowed to do that. What are you doing? Aren't you cooking the water with the sun? So leimar Rabbi Yossi v'la Rabbanon. Maybe that's going only like the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, because in our Mishnah, when we had this hot cloth that was heated by the sun, Rabbi Yossi said, ah, that's not bishul, it's heated by the sun. That's okay, you're allowed to cook an egg on that. And Tanakama said, no good. Yet we see in this Mishnah later on, you're allowed to heat up cold water in the sun. So don't you see that Mishnah is going only like Rabbi Yossi, not the Rabbanan? Says Gemara, no, that Mishnah is going like everybody. There are three things. There are three levels. Amar Rav Nachman, Bechama, to kuli amalo pligi deshari. To actually cook in the sun, everyone holds is permissible. Betoldos ha'ar, kuli amalo pligi de'asir. To cook with something that was heated by a fire, everyone would agree, is aser. Ki pligi, betoldos ha'cham. The machlokas Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi about cooking the egg, frying the egg on a hot cloth that was heated by the sun, was because you're not cooking it in the sun. You're cooking it with something that was heated by the sun. Mar savar gazrinan toldos ha'cham, atu toldos ha'ar, umar savar lo gazrinan. So the Tanakama holds that it's going to be aser, because that which was heated by the sun could easily be confused with that which is heated by fire, and therefore it's going to be aser. Rabbi Yossi says we don't make any such gazera. But when you're cooking directly in the sun, that's for sure permissible. Why is that for sure permissible? Says Rashi, Deshari de'ein derech bishula bekach. Because that's not the normal way to cook. V'chama ba'or lo michlefa, no one would confuse the sun with fire. Deligzar ha atu ha, where you would ever come to make a gzera of one atu the other one. No one would ever get confused with fire and sun. But you know what you will get confused with is a hot piece sheet of metal, let's say, that was heated by the sun. You might think that it was heated by a fire, because how would you know how it was heated? You just see that it's a hot sheet of metal or a hot cloth. So that is where the Tanakama would say you have a problem, and Rabbi Yossi would say that it's okay. Now what does it mean, ein derech bishul bekach, that it's not normal to cook in this way? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva about microwaves. Let's assume there weren't buttons on a microwave that were electronic and were therefore problematic on Shabbos. Let's assume there was some way to activate microwaves without the use of electricity. Would that be called bishul b'Shabbos? Forgetting about electricity and the issues associated with electricity, would it be called bishul on Shabbos to cook with microwaves? Do you say ein derech bishula bekach, that it's not normal and therefore would have the same din as cooking b'chama, as cooking by the sun? Or would you say, no, this is the way people cook all the time? So it's interesting, Rav Moshe's first tshuva about microwaves was before microwaves became popular. And someone explained the technology to him, and that you could take a potato and cook it in 5 minutes in the microwave, and it was like unbelievable, and it was revolutionary. And he was trying to envision the way microwaves would be used. So Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva, no one's going to have ovens anymore. Everyone's going to just use microwaves, because, well, why would anyone use an oven? This is going to be the derech bishul. This is going to be the way that people cook all the time. It actually didn't play out that way, obviously, because it doesn't taste as good when you try to cook something in them, and it doesn't cook as well when you try to cook something in a microwave. And we generally use it just to warm things up and not so much for cooking purposes. But that's the way he envisioned it. But Rav Moshe, in the course of that discussion, discusses what does Rashi mean when he says ein derech bishul bekach. Does that mean it's like you're doing a kila achar yad? It's like cooking with a shinoi? He says it doesn't get the impression that's what it means. It doesn't mean that it's like malacha kila achar yad. What it means is Rav Moshe in Aruch Chaim Chelek Gimel Siman Nun Beis writes that we're not mevashel bechama. The only time you would ever use the sun to cook is if you don't have firewood, if you don't have the ability to make a fire. So you can't learn from Bishul al yidei ha'or that they did in the Mishkan to consider Bishul al yidei ha'chama a tolda of that, because it's not similar at all to the bishul they would do in the Mishkan. They would never lechatchila use this kind of cooking in the Mishkan. Not that it's a kilacha yad, it's a shinoi. It's just so dissimilar to what they did in the Mishkan, and therefore it doesn't fall in the general category of bishul. That's how Rambam understands what Rashi is saying over here. Okay, Vayter in the Gemara, V'lo yatminan b'chol. We also said the third halacha of the Mishnah was that you shouldn't insulate the egg in boiling hot sand and thereby cook the egg in order to roast the egg. But noticeably, Rabbi Yossi was silent. Rabbi Yossi never said, nah, it's mutter, just told us a chama. So ask the Gemara, V'lifulgnami Rabbi Yossi maha. Why doesn't Rabbi Yossi argue over there as well? Rabbah, two explanations. Rabbah Amar, Gzera Shemayat bin Beremet. Rabbah held that even though Rabbi Yossi holds it's not a bishul problem to put an egg, a raw egg, in boiling hot sand, because after all, the sand is heated by the sun. So Rabbi Yossi would hold it's not a bishul problem, but he does hold that it's a Gzera Midrabanan, lest you come to insulate with boiling hot coals, and that is a bishul problem. So since hot sand and hot coals are so easily confused for each other, he didn't want you insulating in hot sand. To fry an egg on an open hot cloth that was heated by the sun, that Rabbi Yossi says is mutter. No one's going to confuse that with any sort of issur d'oraisa. But to insulate in boiling hot sand, that looks a little bit too much like insulating in hot coals. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Rabbi Yossi says, no, the reason that Rabbi Yossi thinks this is usur in the hot sand is b'nei shemezes afar mimakomo, is that you're shaking the sand, you're moving the sand out of place when you bury the egg in the sand. So what? What's the issue of moving the sand out of place? Says Rashi, Vavichofer Guma. It's like digging a hole. So it's a violation of Choresh. It's a violation of plowing when you dig a hole in the sand. Tosos quotes Rashi and asks on Rashi, V'kashal riva, d'aleka yisuru d'oraisa b'chofer guma v'enu tzarech el lafara l'rabishim dam malach shen shrich l'gufa patra leha. Is that really an isur d'oraisa to dig a hole in sand when you're not really interested in the sand, you're just interested in creating the hole? Isn't that a malach shen shrich l'gufa, which according to Rabbi Shimon, you'd be patra? So Rabbi Yossi is really going to make a gzeira that you're not allowed to put the egg in the sand lest you be chofer guma, or that it looks like you're being chofer guma. So what? Chofer guma itself is only an iser derabanan. When you aren't interested in the sand. So Tosus has a different interpretation. Tosus writes that the pshat is mefarish Rabbeinu Tam on the fourth wide line shemezes afir shahu muktza mimakomo kishetochev abeitza betocha afar. Sand is muktza. Sand is muktza machmas gufo. It's something that inherently has no use. So when you bury the egg in the sand, you're moving sand, and that's muksa. You're not allowed to do that. The savor of Yosef to tiltul minatzad shmei tiltul. So Tos says, well, wait a second. Are you really moving the sand? You're pushing the egg down into the sand. You're not actually touching the sand. Isn't that called tiltul minatzad, where you're not actually touching the item? You're just moving it by pushing something else. He says, yeah, we're assuming tiltul minatzad is also called tiltul. That's a violation of muksa. So that's what now, based on that, based on the understanding of Rashi and the understanding of Tosos, what's the issue with moving the sand? That Rashi understands it's chofer guma, Tosos understands it's muktza. So now we could read Vaitu in the Gemara. My Benayu asked the Gemara, what's the nafka mina between Rabba and Rav Yosef? Rabba said that the problem with the sand is that it looks too much like insulating with coals, and Rav Yosef says that it's digging. So Ika Benayu offer tichach. The nafka mina would be if you have sand, very loose sand. So apparently, the way Rashi would understand this nafka mina is it doesn't look like digging because it's it won't leave a hole. When you pull it out, the sand will just fall back into place. It's not going to leave a hole. And according to Tosfos, that also is not going to be considered tiltal. Why? So Tosfos says, Ika b'nayu ofer tichua, chaynu shi tichua kol kach, shemaniach ha-beitzim yadu lipol, netmenes me'at be'atzma. That the sand is so loose that you never actually move the sand. You don't have to push the egg down into the sand. You just drop the egg on the floor and it sinks on its own. It's like quicksand. It sinks on its own into the sand. That's the ofer tichua. So it still looks like matmin berem. It still looks like you're heating it with coals. So according to the shita of Rabba, you'd still have a problem. But you don't have a problem with tiltul mutza because you're not even being metaltul minatzad. It's just sinking on its own into the sand. The nafkamina seems to work a little bit better with shita's Rashi because it's hard to envision such quicksand. That's what we're talking about. It's not much quicksand where it just sinks on its own. Rashi says, no, it doesn't have to sink on its own. It's just when you pull the egg out, the sand will fill in the hole. It's not going to leave a hole. So Sayyid Gemara is going to try to bring a raya now. Meisvei, Rav Shulman, Megadlin, Beitzal Gabe. al gabi gagrotea chirleta, slightly roast an egg on a boiling roof, vein megalgam beitz al gabi sidroteach, but not on boiling cement. So bishlam leman yamar gzerah shemiyatmin beremetz like the migzar. So I understand if the concern is that it looks like you're insulating with hot coals. So on the roof, it doesn't look like you're insulating with hot coals. So that's why it's mutter. Leman yamar neshe mezes afar mimekom leligzar. But if the issue is that you're moving sand, so why don't we make the same gzerah on a roof that it looks like that you're going to be moving sand and it should be a problem? And so gemara stam gag less beafar, because most roofs don't have sand, and therefore it's not going to look like you're moving dirt or you're moving sand. So that is not a raya to Rabba against Rav Yosef. It was an attempt, it failed. Tashma, second possible raya. We learned in our Mishnah that the Anshei Tveria ran a pipe of cold water through the Chamei Tveria. So Bishlam Laman Yamar Gzeira Shemiyatman Beremetz Hainu Didamila Hatmana. So I understand if you hold that the reason that we have a problem, that case number 3 in the Mishnah of putting an egg in sand is all about a hatmana problem, that it looks like you're insulating with hot coals, so I understand how that leads directly into case number 4 of the Mishnah of running the pipe through the pipe of cold water through the hot springs, because it's similar to hatmana. But if you hold that the whole problem with case number 3 in the Mishnah was that it's mezes afar mimekomo, let's say like Tosos for a second, that it's muktza, what in the world does that have to do with running a pipe of cold water through a hot spring? It doesn't look like muktza at all over there. So says Gemara, misavar maisa tveria seifakai. You think case 4 in the Mishnah of maisa tveria is going on case number 3? It's really going back as an explanation of case number 2. What was case number 2 in the Mishnah? Lo yafkiyana besudrin. Not to fry an egg on a hot cloth that was heated by the sun. Rabbi Yossi Mati, where Rabbi Yossi held it was mutter. V'achli kamri le rabbanu le Rabbi Yossi. And the rabbanu were saying to Rabbi Yossi as follows. Hamaisa danche tveria de toldos chamahu v'asri lu rabbanan. Where was the water getting heated from in that story of Anshei Tveria? They had a cold pipe running through hot springs, and the Chacham said, no, that's bad, that water's no good. Where do you think it was getting heated from? Those were naturally hot springs. That's told us, Hachama. That was something that was heated by the sun. So why do you, Rabbi Yossi, think that it's okay when you have something heated by the sun? You see, the Rabbanan had a problem with the story of the Anshei Tveria when something was heated by the sun. So Amar Lahu, Rabbi Yossi's response would be, no, the Chamei Tveria are not heated by the sun. Hahu told us Orhu. It's actually heated by fire. What fire? The Chalfi Apischa de Gehenim. Because how did Chamei Tveria get heated? They passed by the Pesach of Gehenim. So the fires of Gehenim burn it, and that's not called Toldos Hachama, that's called Toldos Ha'ar. Very difficult to understand exactly what that means. Where exactly is Gehenim located? That it has, and do we understand the fires of Gehenim to be literal fires that actually heat up? But whatever it means, somehow that's viewed as Toldos Ha'ar and not Toldos Hachama. And that's why the Rabbanan had a problem with it. Period. Amr Rav Chista. Rav Chista just comments a word about Hatmana. Mi maisa shasu anshei tveria va'asu l'rabbanan You see from this mice of the Anshei Tveria where the Rabbanan said you're not allowed to use this water that was heated by passing through the hot springs of Tveria, that Hatmana B'davra Mosef Hevel is Aser, even from Erev Shabbos. Why, says Rashi, Nesra Hatmana B'davra Mosef Hevel Dami Ba'od Yom Nasu Shamasilon. When did they run this pipe through the hot water? It was already set up from before Shabbos like that. The Afal Gav de Mimela Aser, and it's because cool water is being heated from the hot waters of Anshei Tveria, even though it's happening on its own on Shabbos. You already set up the whole system before Shabbos, it's Aser. So that's very similar to Hatmana Bedavar Hamosef Hevel. Now, Fractosos, this is where we learn that you're not allowed to do Hatmana Bedavar Hamosef Hevel from Erev Shabbos, that you're not allowed to wrap the urn in your, the covering that wraps around it completely, that you're not allowed to do Hatmana Bedavar Hamosef Hevel. Vim Tomer, Matzar Chlumel, Maisi Danshei Tveria. Patience, Tosa says. One more week, we'll get there. We're going to get to Perek Bametomen, and it's going to be beferish a Mishnah that you're not allowed to be matmin b'davar amos of hevel. Umibod yom ayri, and that Mishnah has to be talking about an erev Shabbos. D'mishchashecha filu b'davar sheinu mos of hevel aser. Because if it's somehow on Shabbos, even if it's not mos of hevel, will be aser. K'davrin perek beis, like we said already in the last perek. So what's going on? What are we learning from the Anshei Tveria that we don't already know from the beferish a Mishnah b'metomnin? V'omer read masnisa l'kaman ikulu ukma b'bein hashmashos. Maybe we would have thought that Mishnah is talking about Bein HaShmashos, you're not allowed to be Matmin B'davar HaMos of Hevel, but I would have thought that on Erev Shabbos it's Mutter. Comes along the story of Anshei Tveria, tells me that even on Erev Shabbos you're not allowed to do Atmana B'davar HaMos of Hevel. Tosfos rejects that, he has kashas on that also. How could you tell me that it's talking about Bein HaShmashos? Let's leave out all the back and forth. V'harav Rabbeinu Shmuel Mivardin, toward the end of Tosfos, Mefarish Mimaisa Anshei Tveria, he says, no, you know what the story of Anshei Tveria is adding that we don't see from the Beferish Mishnah? The Beferish Mishnah later on tells me that you're not allowed to do Hatmana B'davar HaMos of Hevel on Erev Shabbos. The story of Anshei Tveria tells me that if you did it, you're not allowed to eat the food. That's an additional, that's even b'di'evet, that you're not allowed to eat the food. V'asur b'shti, you're not allowed to drink the water. And Rabbeinu Yonah has a different interpretation that the Anshei Tveria tells me that even if it was a Keter Chaisa, it would be Asr. Even if it was something that was raw that couldn't get cooked quickly, even then Davar HaMos of Hevel from Erev Shabbos would be Asr. So three possibilities in Tosfos, what the Chiddush of Anshei Tveria is that I don't already know from the Beferish Mishnah B'Met Tomnin, the Re that it comes to tell me that even Mibod Yom, not just Bein HaShmashos, Rabbeinu Shmuel Mivardin, that it comes to tell me even B'Dievet, the food becomes Asr, and Rabbeinu Yonah, that even though Hatman B'Davar HaMos of Hevel is L'Chora concerned that you're going to be Mechata B'Gechalim, and you would think therefore a Kedera Chaisa would be okay, something that being Mechata B'Gechalim won't help you because it's raw anyway, it's going to take a while to cook anyway, still Kedera Chaisa you're not allowed to do with the Davar HaMos of Hevel. Those are three interpretations of Tosfos. Okay. Omar Ula, halacha kanshei tveria. So Ula says, we paskin like kanshei tveria. Amar le Rav Nachman, kvar tavrinu anshei tveria l'silu nayhu. Says, no, what do you mean we paskin like anshei tveria? Anshei tveria were moded to the Rabbanan. They already broke their pipe. They destroyed that pipe because the Rabbanan told them that that pipe is not okay. It's not peseder to have something like that running. Maisa shasu anshei tveria. So we said, what happened in this maisa? They made this pipe, and then the chachamim got wind of this. They saw what they were doing, and the chachamim said, you should know, any hot water you get from that pipe has the same din as water that was cooked on Shabbos. And water cooked on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to drink, and you're not allowed to bathe in. And if it's on Yontif, it has the same din as water cooked on Yontif, where you're not allowed to bathe in it, but you are allowed to drink it. So my rechitza, what kind of bathing are we assuming that we're talking about? Meaning, the implication of the Mishnah is that if it was heated on Yontif, you would not be allowed to bathe. If it was heated on Shabbos, you would not be allowed to bathe in it. So the Mishnah implies bathing with water heated before Shabbos would be okay. That they're telling him it has the same din as water heated on Shabbos. The implication is if it had a din of water heated before Shabbos, that would be permissible. But if it had a din of water heated on Yontif, it would be Aser. On Yontif, it would be Aser. So what is that? What kind of bathing can you not do with water heated on Yontif, but can do with water heated before Shabbos? What fits that criteria? So says the Gemara, my rechitza, what kind of bathing are we talking about? Ilei merechitza is called gufo. If we mean mamish taking a bath, elechamen shulchum b'shabbos u'dasur, elechamen shulchum b'erev shabbos mutarin, are you really allowed to take a bath in water heated before Shabbos? Meaning the Chacham said, you should know, it has a din of water heated on Shabbos, and that's why you can't bathe. What, if it had a din of water heated before Shabbos, you'd be allowed to bathe? You'd be allowed to take a hot bath in water heated before Shabbos? No, it's not true. Vatanya, we have a braisa. Chamen shulchum erev Shabbos, l'macha rochitz ben panav yad v'raglav av a local gufo. If you have water heated before Shabbos, you can rinse your face, you could wash your hands and feet with it, but you may not bathe in water heated before Shabbos. Let's say you shut off the intake valve on your hot water tank before Shabbos, so it doesn't have any new water coming in. So you're not being mevashal anything. You're just taking the hot water straight out of the tank. You're allowed to take a hot shower on Shabbos? Absolutely. Absolutely not. It's gzeir midrabanan, gzeir sabalanim. It's absolutely forbidden to do that. So that can't be what the Mishnah is talking about. El panav yadavragel. So what do you want to tell me? We're talking about washing your hands, face, and feet. Ah, that's what you're allowed to bathe with. That's what you're allowed to do with water heated before Shabbos, but not water heated on Shabbos. But wait a second, then it doesn't fit yantiv. We said that if the water is heated on yantiv, you're not allowed to do this kind of bathing. So leimitzan stomach kebeshamai. So that would only fit with the sheet of beshamai, who holds that when you heat water on yantiv, you're not even allowed to wash your hands, face, and feet with such water. Beshamai holds you're not even allowed to wash your hands, face, and feet with water that you heated for that purpose on yantiv. But Beisil holds that that's mutter. You're allowed to heat water to wash your hands, face, and feet on yantiv. So what's the Mishnah talking about? Now we're not talking about bathing, we're talking about showering. When you pour the water over your body rather than immersing your body in the water. We're assuming like the following Tana, meaning we're assuming right now that if you have water heated before Shabbos, it's permissible to shower in that water on Shabbos. Shut off the intake valve of the hot water tank. It would be permissible according to this assumption of the Gemara, which we're going to reject, so don't get excited, but it would be permissible to shower in such water on Shabbos. Titania lo yishtatif adam kol gufo bein mecham bein mitzonin. The Rameir holds you're not allowed to shower on Shabbos, whether in cold or hot water. Rabbi Shimon matir. Rabbi Shimon holds it's mutter. Rabbi Yudom or bechamin asur mitzonin mutter. Rabbi Yudom says no, you're not allowed to shower in hot water, but you're allowed to shower in cold water. So Rabbi Yudom is the compromise between the two. So we see that we must be assuming like Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah must be assuming like Rabbi Shimon that it's mutter to shower in hot water as long as the water was heated before Shabbos. The machlokas if in the water is in a kli, but if the water is in the ground, everyone holds mutter. But the story of Anshei Tveri was in the karka, and the rabbanon said it's aser. Eli it mar hachi it mar. Now, if you're going to say it, you got to say it like this: machlokas bekarka aval bekli divrei kol aser. The machlokas is in water in the ground, but in water in a kli, everyone would hold that it's aser. Amr Rabba Bar Bechana, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Showering in cold water, permissible. Showering in hot water is forbidden. There's a minhag, Shumas Deshan, quotes a minhag that we don't shower in cold water either on Shabbos, that we don't bathe in cold water either on Shabbos. That's a minhag, that's a later minhag. But Medina de Gemara, showering in cold water is permissible. Showering in hot water, even if the water was heated before Shabbos, is aser, because it's a Gzeiras HaBalanim. We're afraid that the bathhouse attendants are going to heat up water on Shabbos and they're going to lie to us and tell us that the water was heated before Shabbos. So I'm like Rav Yosef, Beferish Shmi'alach or Mechlal Shmi'alach? How do you know that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Did you hear explicitly someone say that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Or did you derive it from something else, from some other statement? So my Klala, how could it have been derived from some other statement? Because we have a rule that when you have two extreme opinions, and then someone who goes right in the middle and says, well, we follow this shita sometimes, that shita sometimes, like Rabbi Yehuda does over here. I say that it's mutter to bathe in cold water. I say that it's aser to bathe in hot water. So he's the machria. We generally paskin like the machria. Chutz mi kulei matlanios, except for the case of kulei matlanios. Shafal pish, Rabbi Lazar machmev, Rabbi Yishua mekel, Rabbi Akiva machria, in alacha kedivrei hamachria, where Rabbi Akiva serves as a machria in that case, and we don't paskin like him. Chadad Rabbi Akiva talmud hu, because first of all, Rabbi Akiva is only a talmud in that discussion. Va'od ha'hadabei Rabbi Akiva legabid Rabbi Yishua, and also because Rabbi Akiva ultimately agreed to Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. So says Gemara, that's where you could have derived that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, because it's part of the general rule that Allah k'divrei mechriya. So tell me, did you derive it based on that rule, or did you hear explicitly that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda? Says Mar, what difference does it make? V'mechlalamai. Let's say we derived it. So is it a bad derivation? Is there something wrong with deriving it? Because if you derived it from the rule of Halach Divrei Machria, maybe the rule of Halach Divrei Machria only applies to Mishnayis, not to Brises. So therefore, maybe it wouldn't be operative over here. He says, I didn't derive it. I heard it explicitly that the Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda. So Halach Lemaisa now, what does this tell us about showering on Yantiv? We have this Machlokas Bishama Besilel, whether you're allowed to heat up water to wash your hands, face, and feet. Why does Beis Shammai say it's Asr? So Tosfos points out, because Beis Shammai doesn't hold of the concept of Mitoch Shalitru L'Tzoruch, Chutrunami, Shalol L'Tzoruch, that once you're allowed to cook water for Tzoruch Ochel Nefesh, you're allowed to cook it for non-Tzoruch Ochel Nefesh as well. Beis Hillel holds that yes, you can. Once you're allowed to heat up water for food, you're allowed to heat up water for non-Ochel Nefesh purposes, as long as it's something that's Shavu L'Kol Nefesh, as long as it's a basic human need, like washing hands, face, and feet. Washing your entire body, Beis Hillel says, is Asr also. On Yantiv, you're not allowed to heat up water to wash your entire body. Why? Because that's not a tzara, that's not Shavu L'Kol Nefesh. People don't bathe all the time. People bathe, whatever it was, if they were super healthy, once a month. It wasn't something that people would do all the time, and therefore was not considered Shavu L'Kol Nefesh. So that's the question. Bizman Azeh, where people do hopefully bathe all the time, so now does it change the halacha? Does it now become Shavu L'Kol Nefesh, where everyone's going to agree? So Pashtus is, if you learn this Gemara like Tosos, the Ramban has a completely different understanding, but Pashtus, if you learn this Gemara like Tosos, which the Shulchan Aruch seems to learn, Mishabur is Machmir like the Ramban, the Shulchan Aruch seems to learn this Gemara like Tosos, Pashtus would be that you would be allowed to take, to warm up water on Shabbos, even to heat your entire body, even to wash your entire body, and therefore shower on Yontif, not Shabbos, no, on Yontif, even to wash your entire body. That would be the Pashut conclusion you would draw from Tosos. Halach l'maisa, follow the instructions that we put out before Yontif. We can't get into the whole shiur right now.